The Commodores return to First Bank Stadium tomorrow and take on Georgia State. Pre-game begins at 5 on 102.5 The Game with the kickoff at 6:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. And we are at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse right now in Midtown Nashville, not too far from First Bank Stadium. So if you are looking for a place to go before or after the game, may we suggest Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. And Chad, we were just playing a good old-fashioned party game called Would You Rather, a Titans-themed version of Would You Rather.
Well, first, let's find out if Chad has ever partaken in a game of Would You Rather.
Have you, Chad?
I have absolutely partaken. I'm familiar with the game.
Okay.
Big fan of the game, so I'm excited, and I was able to listen to a little bit of you guys, but excited to hear my options.
All right. So
has he ever partaken in a Jimmy Kelly's, being a born and raised Nashville native?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm a Jimmy Kelly's fan. Okay, yes. It is a Nashville staple you guys are at right now, and if you give me red meat, I'll eat it. So I'm a big fan of Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse.
Good to know. So here's our Titans version of Would You Rather. Would you rather be the Titans or any one of these other winless NFL teams? And we are talking not just this season. We're talking about the trajectory of these franchises. So how many of these situations would you say are worse than the Titans situation right now? The New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs, the New York Giants, the Chicago Bears, the New Orleans Saints, or the Carolina Panthers?
So I'm going to say of those teams, I think for sure the Saints and the Panthers are worse off than the Titans. I'm not willing to say yay or nay on the other ones. You know, there's so many unknowns. It's and I heard you guys talking about it. It's all about quarterback, right? I mean, obviously it's not the Chiefs. That you want to switch spots, or that you'd love to switch spots if you were the Titans, but they wouldn't switch spots with the Titans. The Bears have a better nucleus around Caleb Williams, even though I'm not sold on Caleb Williams right now. The Saints don't have a quarterback, and they're going to be really bad, and they don't really have hope in a franchise quarterback on the roster, I don't think. So I will take the mystery box of Cam Ward and what he could be as the number one overall pick over the situation with the Saints. And I'd say the same for the Panthers. There's just a lot of not good with the Panthers with a lack of hope. The Titans' lone hope right now is that Cam Ward hits and that the rookie receivers are going to be better than expected and they're going to have something moving forward on offense. So it's a small list, guys. I mean, I think it's a great question you threw out. There's probably those two teams are the only ones that I would put ahead of the Titans in that pecking order. I think I'd rather be every other NFL franchise listed that's 0-2. And that's not saying a lot for the Titans.
Even the Jets, the Dolphins, the Browns, the Giants, you would take those over the Tennessee Titans right now?
I would take the Jets' defensive nucleus and the fact that they're going to be drafting a quarterback very high next year in the draft and the hope of that. It's close, but I would narrowly take the Jets. I also think Aaron Glenn in year one. Here's the other part about this that I'm sure we're going to get to is – the Titans have a coach who's got the same record as Ken Wisenhunt when Ken Wisenhunt was fired.
Yeah.
So Aaron Glenn's in game number three. So maybe Aaron Glenn can get paired up with a good quarterback next year, and they've got a pretty good defense, and the Jets can be something. I'm also factoring into I believe the Titans are going to be starting over with a new coach by year two for Cam Ward, and we know how that can stunt the growth process of having a completely new system, could be new verbiage, could be a lot of new things. So you're almost starting over in year one with Cam Ward in year two. So I have to factor that in when considering the Titans.
Chad, how critical is this game on Sunday, not just for this season, because I think we can all agree we don't have high hopes for this season. We didn't have high hopes for this season when it started before the Titans were 0-2. But I remember last season in week three, the Malik Willis-led Green Bay Packers came into Nissan Stadium and had their way with the Titans. And 0-3, like, that just feels like the season is a lost cause at this point. Plus, you have to factor in that after this game, the Titans play three consecutive road games. So they won't be in town. People won't be going to the games. How critical do you think this game is on Sunday for Tennessee?
It's hugely critical, and especially for the coaching staff, more than anything else. And you look at Brian Callahan right now. He's got to show something. There's got to be some level of growth. There's got to be some level of fight with this team. They need to look like professionals. I mean, there are plenty of bad NFL teams in recent history and every year that they show up and they shellack somebody on the right day where they have a superior game plan and they go out and they execute and they show something. I want the Titans more than anything to show me something. It's not going to put them in the AFC South race in the end or do anything. But what it's going to do is going to knock the Colts back a peg, their longtime rival that's gotten off to a great start with Daniel Jones. They've yet to punt, I think, this season. So you're going to knock them down a peg, and you're going to show your fan base in this city that you've got a little something. I want to see something from the Titans. I love Taylor Zarzur. I'm sure he's a good guy. Don't know him. But I'm listening to the coach's show, and he opens by saying something about going toe-to-toe with a playoff team on Sunday. And I'm thinking, did we watch the same game? They didn't go toe-to-toe with anybody. They played a decent first half, and like so many Brian Callahan performances in the past, completely wilted in the second half. You could say that's because of personnel or whatever, but the fact is the Titans have been a terrible second-half team, and they run out of steam. I want to see four quarters of competent NFL play, and if the Titans can do that, they're going to have a great chance to get the win on Sunday, and I think that would just do so much to raise the spirits of everyone, and it would definitely help Brian Callahan and his entire staff.
But Chad, when you talk about this team showing something, you're absolutely right. But when you look at who they have on this team, how much can they show? I think, and let me know if you agree with this. I think a lot of it, or all of it, has to do with Brian Callahan developing this quarterback. I think that will always be the number one topic inside that building. How is he developing that quarterback? Because he didn't go out and get these players, a lot of these players were here before he got here. Even the guys that they drafted last year, they're showing promise, but now they're hurt. But it's much more for him to develop that quarterback, because the quarterback ultimately lifts the team. And we know right now that Cam Ward can't lift this team because of the ineptness of the roster. So that's the way I look at it. How do you look at something like that?
Yeah, it's a great question, D-Mace, and they're definitely without J.C. Latham, which is going to impact the offensive development again. Tavondre Sweat is out, another young piece that you'd hope to like and that would be available, so you got to factor that in. It is all about Cam Ward, no doubt about it. But I do think that defensively, when I say show me something, let's look at the Titans' defense. They're good enough to make Daniel Jones punt for the first time this year, right? Like, this is a team that at home, they're good enough to do some things, I think, defensively, even though personnel-wise, they're definitely not, I wouldn't even say mid-tier, but their ceiling is certainly middle of the NFL, I think, on defense. Offensively, there's just got to be growth. We got to see some things. Maybe it's Cam Ward a few times recognizing something a little bit quicker, because his highlights so far this year have been sort of busted plays, eluding pressure, throwing across his body, making a good throw where there's a drop, but just a little bit more execution. I don't think anyone's expecting the world with this Titans team. It's just little incremental steps forward where you start to feel like, okay, now I see what they're trying to do. I don't really understand the identity of this team, and we can point to the GM and the locker room and the personnel or the leaders on the team or the coaching. We can probably point to all of them. But ultimately, that falls on the head coach, Brian Callahan, especially when you're an offensive guy as head coach. I need to know what they're attempting to do offensively, and I want to see Cam Ward understanding it and processing it a little bit quicker when it comes to in-game decision-making. And I think just seeing that would be really enough for me to say, okay, let's give it another week. Let's continue to watch this and see this young kid grow, especially if they can continue to get some things from the rookie wide receivers. I think that's the sign of encouragement the Titans fans want to see, and then, quite frankly, they need to see.
Chad Withrow is with us, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. So, Chad, let's talk SEC football here for a couple of questions. This is an interesting gauge question for where Tennessee and Vanderbilt are right now. If Vanderbilt were to play at Tennessee tomorrow, what do you think the line would be?
I think it'd be Tennessee by about a touchdown. I think it'd be 6.5 or 7. if the game was played tomorrow, and not because the Neyland Stadium factor would be a big one. But look, I'll say this right now, Willie, they're both playoff teams. Three games into the season, I think everybody's, you know, people come out of the Tennessee-Georgia game saying, oh, we just watched two playoff teams. And I think about Vandy, and I'm thinking, did you see their defense? I get that it was a backup quarterback in the second half, but did you see what they did on the road against the 11th-ranked team in the country? I think both are possible playoff teams right now, but I think home field for Tennessee would probably be about a touchdown spread.
I'm not ready to go there with Vanderbilt yet. They have such a tough back half of the schedule, but here, this leads me perfectly into the next question, Chad. We now are commonly, every year, looking at SEC baseball and saying to ourselves, okay, in a given year, 14 or 15 out of the 16 teams are NCAA tournament caliber teams. Basketball literally had, what, 14 make it last year? And yep. I would say all 16 teams either have already beaten a top 25 team or are capable of beating a top 25 team. And I don't know if you could say that every year in the SEC football. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I really believe, like, if you compare it to the Big Ten especially, you know, like Indiana-Illinois, they're going to play in a big game. I think Indiana-Illinois are good teams. If you gave me, let's just take, like, outside of that, what everyone would consider the elite top three in the conference. Right now, you know, Texas, Georgia, LSU. Let's put them in the same group. Now let's put a group of Alabama, Vanderbilt, Tennessee together. Let's say Ole Miss. I'm taking all of those teams, Vandy, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee. I'm taking them by 10-plus points over Indiana or Illinois right now based on what I've seen. That's where the SEC is elite, and this year especially. I think 1 through 15, I'm going to put some separation between the top 15 and then Kentucky, who I think just may be pretty bad this year. I think every other team, Willie, is good to very good to great. And that's what's going to make it so hard. And you're right, that's what's going to make it difficult for a Vanderbilt.
Right, for playoffs in general. Right, because wouldn't you be worried? Yeah, if Tennessee, I agree. Wouldn't you be worried a little bit from, if you're looking league-wide, you're Greg Sankey, that this is your worst nightmare, in theory, is that you might have what happened last year, even on a bigger level, where there's no easy games. So you could be a really good team and end up 9-3, or if you have a really difficult schedule, 8-4. And you're looking around for, there's no clear three or four playoff teams. I feel like that could happen.
Yeah, it's sort of the NFL effect, right? They're all going to beat each other up. And then at the end of the year, you're going to have a bunch of teams at 8-4, 9-3. I'll say this, give me the 9-3 SEC team, and I'm no SEC homer when it comes to this, and I think sometimes Nick Saban and others sound a little bit ridiculous when they constantly want to petition for the 9-3 SEC team. I have seen enough to say the 9-3 SEC team versus, let's say, a 10-2 Notre Dame or a 10-2 Clemson, from what we've seen, give me the 9-3 team. I don't care what their schedule was. If they finish 9-3 in this SEC, they deserve a spot over some of those two-loss teams that we're going to see from other conferences. But to your point, Willie, about the depth of this conference, I think the biggest game of Tennessee's season is next week in Starkville, because I truly believe that they can avoid that Arkansas collapse of a year ago in the second half. And Josh Heupel tends to have one of those a season where he loses a game maybe he shouldn't on the road, where Tennessee just doesn't play that well. That Mississippi State game is the one that I've circled, a road trip, that if they can avoid the upset loss in that one, you get to the bye week at 4-1, they're going to have a great chance. Because they're going to have Arkansas and Oklahoma at home. The Alabama trip's going to be tough. We don't know what Florida's going to be at the end of the year. That Vandy game is going to be tough, but it's in Knoxville. There's a lot of opportunities there, but opportunity works both ways when your conference is this good. You got an opportunity to win all of them, and you could lose quite a few of them as well when you look at this league.
I like Tennessee's schedule for the reasons you just said. I want to ask you one question about Georgia. What is your gauge after watching Georgia last week of where they are compared to the level we expect of Georgia, you know, national championship level?
Georgia is Georgia because Gunnar Stockton, I think, is a dude. And I didn't think that
you
going
think
in. So? I didn't think it going in, Willie, and I thought that guy made some big throws. That 4th-and-6 throw to London Humphreys, I mean, Tennessee's got a freshman corner out there. He's in great position. Yes, maybe he could have turned his head around a little bit quicker, but he dropped that thing in a bucket on 4th-and-6 for a 28-yard touchdown. He really impressed me in that game, in that atmosphere. Now, I will say this. Tennessee's offense is really good, We haven't seen a Josh Heupel offense throw the ball up and down the field, run the ball up and down the field for almost 500 yards the way they did. So maybe that's something to watch, right? Georgia really got tested in that secondary for the first time, and maybe they're a little bit vulnerable there, and we're giving Tennessee a little bit too much credit, and Georgia isn't Georgia on defense. But if I had to bet right now, I think their defense is going to be really good all year. And you're looking at another playoff trip for the Georgia Bulldogs. So, you know, it's disappointing from a Tennessee perspective. They had about five or six chances to end that game, and they just didn't do it. Credit Georgia, tip your hat. They made more plays in the end. But I think both teams – I think Georgia is Georgia. I think Tennessee's ceiling is way higher than I expected coming into the season because Joey Aguilar is way better than I ever expected.
Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, as he is every Friday afternoon. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Always a highlight of my week, gentlemen. Thank you so much, and have a great weekend.
You as well. Chad Withrow on the program, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe had Predators GM Barry Trotz on the program earlier today, and he had an update on an important Predator story. We'll hit on that next. 615-737-1025. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is Auburn versus Oklahoma at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. It's presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.